We're going to pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14 and go down to verse 24. And we'll take as long as it takes to do that. But if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll read the scriptures together this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us and that we can be still, see you, see your salvation in your word, and hear from your Spirit and through your word today. Please guide us into all truth and teach us. Help us by your grace and by your Spirit to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you give us understanding this morning. And Father, anyone in this room or watching online who's never been born again, we pray that today would be the day they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in the finished work of Jesus, his death and resurrection for our sins. And help all of us, Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to love one another as we love ourselves. Forgive us where we fall short. Please bless your word now and help us as we seek daily to discern your will, that you would give us the grace and the ability to walk in your revealed will for us, to do the things that you've called us to do. And please bless, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. In verse 14, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it." Amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, if you missed it, you can go online and find it. But we covered the first verses 4 through 8, to live faithfully as children of light. God has delivered us from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. Verses 9 through 11, we want to encourage one another with the hope of life in Christ. And then we looked at verses 12 through 15 and talked about living together in peace, patience, and active love. And just read verses 14 and 15 again this morning just as a reminder that listen, we're going to have issues with each other in the church. That's just the reality. Anytime more than one person is in the same proximity, there may be some disagreements along the way. We kind of teased Brother Philip a little bit because he lives by himself and still can't get along with everybody he lives with, right? So we have conflict within ourselves. We have conflicts within our home. We have conflicts within the church. That's just the reality of the human existence. But we want to exhort, he says in verse 14, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. And so there's a response to everything. Whatever the situation is, there is a right and biblical response that we give towards one another, and that we would never render evil for evil to any man, but ever follow that which is good. Listen, when the Lord Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile back. And so that's the example that we have. If somebody attacks you, you don't attack back. That's just not what you do. And so we want to respond the way that Christ would have us to. And I'm reminded of kings of old who when they were under attack, like we studied a couple weeks ago about Jehoshaphat, when the enemies of God came, he just brought it to God. And there were other kings that they would come before God. Hezekiah, when the enemies would come and they would blaspheme God and they would threaten the people of God, he would just lay out their threats before God and just say, "Lord, look at their threats and help us." And that's what we could do. You could take those things to God, and we can always follow that which is good, both among ourselves and to all men. Our love one to another is what puts on display that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. We love one another. It's how people know that we're his. And so we want to make sure that we do that. Now, moving on to verse 16, look at verses 16 through 18 again. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I just want to tell you that what I take from these verses is this: we need to keep our hearts continually turned towards God. Always turn our hearts towards God. I know that bad things happen in your life, but you can always rejoice. Now and always. I know that there are times when you're tired and your flesh is weak and your carnal mind is turned away from the things of God, but never stop praying. Always cry out to God. Pray without ceasing. And then he says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. You know, every situation in your life isn't pleasant. Oh, you guys didn't know that? Okay, in case you haven't experienced it, bad things are going to happen in your life. Not everything's going to be good. Not everything's going to be comfortable. Not everything's going to be enjoyable. As cushy as we have it as Americans, and by the way, we have it very cushy here. Okay? We have it so good, so comfortable. I can already tell some of you right now the air conditioner's not quite low enough for you. Just a couple degrees too hot for you this morning, right? I mean, we're just spoiled. But there are bad things that are going to happen in your life far worse than being uncomfortable with the temperature. But in everything, you can give thanks. I know who's on the throne. I know who's in control. I know what happens in the end for those who have their faith in Jesus Christ. So I can give thanks in everything, in every situation. In every circumstance, I can give thanks because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Continual joy, continual prayer, continual thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. And that's the paradox of the Christian life. Like, you could be poor, but you could be richer than anybody else around. I've known people like that. Earthly goods, they were very poor, didn't have anything, but they had the joy of the Lord, so they had more than any billionaire on the planet. Sorrowful. Listen, some of you have been through some great sorrow, the greatest sorrow of your whole life, just this year. And yet you can have rejoicing, you can still have the joy of the Lord in the midst of your sorrow because of who Jesus is, because of what he's done, and because of what he's promised to those who put their faith in him. There is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish the Christian's joy. That's a quote by John MacArthur. There is no event or circumstance that can occur in the life of any Christian that should diminish that Christian's joy. Now, I understand he says should there, because let's be real honest. Circumstances happen that kind of rob us of our joy, don't they? Things happen. Life happens. People happen. Reality happens. Adulting happens, right? And it takes away our joy, but it shouldn't be that way. It should be that no matter what happens, I'm still rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing evermore. Let me just do a couple of questions here. We'll take a poll. How many of you have had your sins forgiven by Jesus? Okay? How many of you have received by faith the gift of everlasting life? How many of you, the moment you close your eyes in death and draw your last breath on this earth, are going to open your eyes in the presence of Jesus? It changes everything. It changes everything. My sins are forgiven. Christ has saved me. The Most High God is my Heavenly Father. The Spirit of Christ lives in me. And he lives in you if your faith is in him. His word is still true and he's preserved it for us. Jesus Christ is still with us through his Spirit. He is empowering us. His presence is with us and he is working to build his church in the earth today. His kingdom that we pray so often, thy kingdom come, it is coming. He is building his kingdom. He is growing his kingdom. He's expanding his kingdom. Your name, if your faith is in Jesus, your name is written in heaven. And it will not be blotted out. Jesus Christ is coming again. And I just want you to get this, because I think we messed this up. Christian joy, what we're talking about right here, rejoicing evermore, this isn't pretending like everything's okay. Right? That's not what it is. Do you guys ever watch commercials? Or sorry, kids, ads? When I was a kid, they were commercials. Now they're ads, right? I just remember this guy. He's got the beautiful house on the corner, the perfect lawn, the picket fence. He's riding his beautiful brand new mower. And he's got this huge, ridiculous smile on his face. You guys remember this? And he's just smiling, just so big. And he says, "Somebody please help me." And I think the line was, "I'm drowning in debt." But everything looks perfect, and he's just smiling like everything's fine, right? And so many Christians, we come in on a Sunday morning to gather with the church, and we come in the door, and we're smiling and just pretending like everything's fine. And on the inside, we're crying out, "Somebody please help me." I want to tell you, the Christian life is not pretending. Christian joy is not pretending that everything is fine. It's confidence that God's still good when my circumstances aren't. So we pray. We rejoice evermore. No matter what our circumstances, my joy is found in Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray with absolute dependence on God all the time. This word, this phrase, without ceasing, is one word in the Greek, and it's something constant, recurring, it's habitual, it's an unvarying practice, it's something that you do all the time. Every waking moment is turning my thoughts, my heart towards God. Literally, you're not going to walk around with your head bowed and your eyes closed, like, we don't do that, right? Right? I know some of you guys drive with your head down, looking at your phone, but that's not what we're talking about either. You're like, "I drive by faith, not by sight." No, we're talking about turning our hearts and our minds towards God always, just turning every thought towards God. That's praying without ceasing. Don't stop praying. I'm going to depend on God in everything. It's unvarying in my life. It's just who I am. It's what I do. Prayer is always going to be the pattern of my life. Prayer is always going to be the posture of my life. In every situation, I'm going to look to God. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been saved very long, there have probably been some periods of time in your life when your prayer life wasn't what it ought to be. There may have been days where you didn't pray, or weeks where you didn't pray, or God forbid, months or even years where somebody who professes Christ has not ever prayed or cried out to him. And I'm going to tell you, it ought not be so. We ought to be people who are praying all the time. And it's not just, we always look at Daniel, and you know, he went home and opened his window towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he went and prayed. It's not just like praying in the morning and before you eat lunch and at the end of the day. It's just praying always. In every situation, turning our prayers, our thoughts towards God. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Pour out your heart before God. And you guys know Philippians 4, verses 6 and the one after it. Every time I think the whole thing's going to go away, it just doesn't. I heard a middle school teacher count to 10 the other day, and he counted 6, 8, 9. Like, teachers are going to start, like, skipping numbers. Our kids aren't going to know how to count anymore. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Turn in your anxiousness, your anxiety, turn it in for prayer, and in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So as I pray without ceasing, I'm going to also give thanks in everything. Give thanks in every circumstance. Thank him. Express gratitude to him. There's no circumstance where we are without reason to give thanks to God. He remains in control. He is sovereign. He hasn't abandoned us. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient for us. And remember that whatever suffering Christ allows to come into your life is ultimately for your good. Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, we know that Job understood that. That he was being tried like gold in the fire. That he was being purified. That God was going to make him better through everything that he went through. And if Job could get that, if he could maintain his integrity and understand that, how much more can we? Whatever I'm going through, God is working it out for his glory and for my good. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We want to give thanks in everything that we're going through. So remember, turn your heart to God in every circumstance of life. Just continually turn your heart towards God through rejoicing, through prayer, and through giving of thanks. Next, I want you to look down at verse 19. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We want to test everything. We want to hold fast to the truth. And we want to reject evil. Prove all things. The word prove here means to test or examine. It has the idea of scrutinizing or making a distinction between. And then we want to prove what has passed the test. This is when you get something examined. Have any of you ever taken something like, to get it priced? Like maybe some jewelry to see how much it's worth? You guys are like, jewelry, what's that? Okay. So you take something to the jeweler, maybe they want to see if it's real gold, so they run some tests on it. Or maybe it's a gem and they get out their little thing, right? And they look at it. What are they doing? They're examining it, they're proving it, they're testing it to find out its value. You guys ever had to go through construction when they've got like one lane down and they're working on a bridge? You ever seen that? You live in Oklahoma, you've never seen construction before. Work with me, people. Come on. Okay, so they got it down, and they got all the stuff and the equipment, and they're testing the bridge. One of the things they're doing, it is examining the steel to make sure it still has its integrity. They're proving it. They're testing it to make sure the steel still rings true, that it's not corrupted on the inside. It's not rusted through or corrupted in some way. And when we are looking at everything in our life, what we're supposed to do is prove it or test it. And maybe it's a decision that we need to make. Maybe it's a relationship that we are not sure whether we should have in our life. Or it's all kinds of things can happen. That's why it's not specific. He says, prove all things, test everything, and then hold on to that which is good. So how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to examine everything according to the word of God. This is how we test it, right? This is how we look at it. Like the jeweler has his little lens that he looks at, this is the lens that we look at everything through. We're going to examine it through the lens of Scripture. I'm going to look through this at the thing to figure out whether it's good or not. And if it's not good according to the word of God, I'm going to let it go. And I'm only going to hold on to those things that are good according to the word of God. I got to make sure it passes the test of Scripture. By the way, not the test of popular opinion. Not the test of my peers, but the test of Scripture. I'm going to test it against the word of God. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so I love it when Paul and the other missionaries showed up. They're preaching the gospel to them. They're telling them that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They're telling about all the things of the kingdom that Jesus taught them. And when they heard those things, they were ready to hear it. But then they went back to the scriptures to figure out if what they said was true. I mean, these guys are up there telling them what Isaiah said. So they go back and read Isaiah to figure out, is that really what Isaiah said? And they're searching the scriptures to figure it out. And by the way, that's what you ought to do. It's what we all ought to do. Don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Go to the law. Go to the testimony of scripture and see whether these things are true. We have to study the scriptures. And can I say this? You need to study the scriptures in context. Everybody know what context is? Context means I'm going to not just pull a verse out of a chapter or a book by itself. I'm going to look at the scriptures, the verses that come before it. I'm going to look at the scriptures and the verses that come after it. I'm going to try to figure out what's that book about, what's that letter about, what's this section about, who is he talking to, who is talking, what's going on. I want to take things in context. Listen to me. Proof texting is dangerous. Proof texting means this. I have an idea. I have a statement. I have a belief. I have something that I think is true, and I'm going to go to the scriptures, and I'm going to pull verses from here and here and here and here and all over to prove what I think. I'm going to tell you what, you can prove almost anything with the scriptures if you take things out of context. The devil did it. Did he not? Like he used scripture, he pulled it out of context and then tried to apply it, and we can't do that. We have to study it in context. That's why we want to go verse by verse through the scriptures as much as we possibly can so that we can see it in its context. Study the scriptures, take it in context, and submit to the word of God. What God says goes. Now listen, I talked about being uncomfortable. When you study the Bible in context, it's going to make you uncomfortable because it's going to go against you. This book is a mirror. And it shows us our deficiencies. It is not a telescope to look at other people's problems somewhere else. It's not a magnifying glass to highlight somebody else's problems. It is a mirror to show us where we need to change. And I'm going to tell you, when you start studying the Bible, verse by verse, through books of the Bible, it is going to come in conflict with you. It's going to show you some things that need to change in your life. It's going to reveal some beams that you have in your eye. And if you're unwilling to repent, you're going to have a crisis. Okay, Christians, listen. If you're unwilling to repent, you're going to have a crisis in your life. Because what you're going to do is you're going to come up against something where God's word clearly shows you you're wrong. And if you're unwilling to repent, then you have two options. You have to lie to yourself and pretend like it's not really wrong and continue in your sin, right? You're going to have to abandon your faith completely and just give up. Or you're going to have to humble yourself before God and repent. I would commend you to humble yourself before God and repent. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast to that which is good. 2 Timothy 1, 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hold fast the form of sound words. We want to retain, we want to hold on to, we want to get a grip on it and not let go. This is what we want to do with the truth that God shows us from his word. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We want to stay in the truth. We want to hold on to the truth. We want to grow up in the things of Christ. He tells us that we need to abstain from all appearance of evil. all appearance of evil. It's the idea of all kinds of evil. And I think this is important, something we're coming up to studying in our Sunday school class. But, there were people who looked at Jesus and they ridiculed him. They said he was a friend of sinners. They looked at Jesus because he ate with publicans and sinners, and women of ill repute washed his feet with their hair. And so they looked at Jesus and they thought he looked evil. So I want to make sure that we understand what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean don't do anything in your life that somebody else could find fault with. That's not what it means. You can't mean that, because if it means that, then Jesus violated this. Everybody tracking? Okay? This doesn't mean don't do something in your life that somebody else could say that looks bad. That's not what it means. It can't mean that, because Jesus would be guilty of that multiple times. What it does mean is that I don't want to do anything that is a form or a kind of evil. And remember the context? What am I doing? I'm proving all things and I'm holding fast to that which is good. And anything that's not good, I'm going to let it go. Any type, any kind of evil, I'm going to abstain from it. I'm going to abstain from anything that is a form or a kind of evil. We want to live a right kind of life. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. There is good and evil in the world today. True? So I want to do what's right according to the word of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I want to look back at verses 19 and 20 as we wrap it up today, and I want you to just think about this. Who's more powerful than God? Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God, right? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, co-equal, one God in three persons. So the Holy Spirit of God lives in everyone who believes in Christ. Is that true? Okay. So the moment you repent and put your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. From the moment you're saved, for the rest of eternity, the Spirit is in you. Is that true? No one's more powerful than God. His Spirit, the Spirit of God, lives in you. And yet there is a command in Scripture that says, quench not the Spirit. This is one of the most mind-blowing things to me in all of Scripture, that a believer could actually quench the Spirit of God. This is the flaming tongues of fire that came on the believers at Pentecost. This is the power of God manifest on the earth in the believer. This is the very Spirit of the living God that moved on the face of the waters when everything was created. He lives in you, and you have the ability to quench him. That's astounding to me. I can't even begin to understand that. How that God would allow me, I'm but dust, and yet I can live in a way that quenches the Spirit of God. There's a warning against it, so I know it's possible. I also know it's possible because I've done it. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever as a believer felt the move of the Holy Spirit in your life? Like a conviction that says, I need to stop doing that? Or a conviction that says, I need to do this? I mean, you felt the Spirit of God move on you, that you need to get something right with him, or you need to do something for him, or you just need to worship him or bow down before him or shout hallelujah. I'm just saying the Spirit of God moves, and you and I are so guilty all the time of quenching the Spirit. Because I'm more concerned about what somebody else might think about me than I am about obeying the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, we've got to change. I need to repent. And if you've done it, you need to repent. Do not quench the Spirit of God. And we think about this a lot when it comes to these times where, you know, you guys have been around long enough. Oh, he's almost done preaching. Hallelujah. It's almost invitation time. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit's been working on your heart, invitation time, the end of the sermon, the time to respond is one of the worst times of all. God's been convicting you of something. You got some sin that you need to repent of and you don't want to. You got a decision you need to make for Jesus, but you're scared. Don't quench the Spirit. But it's not just here. It's every single day. You lay your head on your pillow tonight to go to sleep, and he reminds you of something. Don't quench the spirit. Get right with Jesus. He may just bring somebody to your mind that you need to call or go see. Don't quench the spirit. He may convict you while you're at work or you guys getting ready to go back to school. There may be somebody that you see and the Holy Spirit's like, you need to talk to them. Don't quench the spirit. God sees everything, guys. And he knows what he's doing. And his Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, each and every one of us, to guide us every step of the way. And we want to follow him. And verse 20 said, despise not prophesying. Now, in the early days of the church, there were prophets who God would reveal things to them miraculously, teach them things that they didn't know, and then they would go and foretell the things of God. But prophesying doesn't just mean foretelling the future, like God revealed something to them and they would prophesy about future events. Prophesying is also what we would call preaching. It's to foretell. God has revealed truth. And a man stands up and proclaims that truth, and the warning here is don't despise it. What does that mean? It means that when God puts you under the preaching of the Word of God, don't despise it, don't reject it, don't put it away, but take it in. Believe it, receive it, and obey it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This morning I'm going to ask our musicians to come and ask you to stand with me. I have no idea what the Holy Spirit of God might be convicting your heart about today. I have no idea what decision you might need to make for Jesus. I just know this. His Holy Spirit works through the preaching of his word to bring us to decision. And I want to plead with you this morning that you make the decision that God wants you to make. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, repent and believe the gospel today. If you've done that, but you've never followed him in baptism, make that decision today. If you've got unconfessed or unrepented sin in your life, get it right with Jesus today. He is ready to forgive you. He loves you. He wants you to be filled with his Spirit, so don't quench his Spirit today. If he's convicting, you come while we sing.
Number 558.